Psalm chapter 6 is where we will be. We're in make it a regular habit around here to just pick a book of the Bible and spend time walking through that. You may be thinking, how are you going to do that in Psalms? That's a lot of chapters. We're just going to go up to chapter 8 for the summer, and then we're going to pick up into another series. But we're in Psalm chapter 6 this morning. It's a heavy psalm, but it's a good one for us this morning. As we begin, on May 31st of last year, I received that dreaded phone call that we all hope to never have. It was my dad on the other end of that call, emotionally undone, because my mom had suffered a severe stroke while she was in Target with my brother. Now, the details of that event at Target are just absolutely horrific, and they still plague my brother today. My dad wasn't with them, and so when he called, he was struggling to find his way to the hospital through all the emotion. Here's a man who has a great sense of direction my whole entire life, lost in a town he's lived in his whole entire life because of the flood of emotions. The voice on the other end of that phone was sheer pain, uncertainty, and just lost emotionally. I was trying to make sense of everything to try to help my dad get to where he needed to be. I was worried about my brother and what he had just went through. And the most difficult part was wondering if my mom was going to live. I've never felt pain. I have never felt pain like that. I wasn't on the phone very long when my brother called my dad. He needed to give him some more directions, and so my dad hung up. And when I hung up the phone, I lost it. I can still feel the uncertainty and the pain that just filled my soul. I was so lost emotionally. I couldn't figure out like what we were supposed to do. And, you know, Lauren did the best she could to console me, but there was a surge of grief I've never felt before. And quite frankly, I don't want to feel again. Now, many of you know, by God's grace, my mom survived. She's healthy today. We celebrate that. But I don't know what to do in moments like that. I had no words. I had no understanding. There was this little moment of life. I was just completely undone. Have you ever been so emotionally undone that prayer was difficult? That confusion was just so overwhelming that you just couldn't make sense of the pain. You just couldn't make sense of the struggle, and unfortunately, God seemed kind of far off. Well, guess what? You're in good company. Guess what? You're not alone, as we have said consistently over the last several weeks as we have looked at Psalms. You are not alone. That's where we find the poet David, King David, this morning. And this is what I love about the book of Psalms, for us to entertain those little pockets of life that are overwhelming. They're not fun to talk about, but we must. So just diving into God's word, saying, okay, Lord, what do you have for us today? It is so healthy and good for us because we get to reflect about those pockets, those moments of life where we are just undone. Whatever the reason might be, but you are just so emotionally spent. Have you been there? This is where we find David this morning. He seems a bit erratic, as we will see as we read this text. But here's where we find him: undone, overwhelmed, emotionally unstable, confused, desperate, and pleading with God. You've been there? But in the midst of so much pain, he writes. And he offers us, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, some good things this morning. David does not have a drop of energy left. And he does the only thing he knows to do. Pray. Read along as I read Psalm 6, or follow along as I read out this text. It'll be on the screen for you. Chapter 6, verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver me. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. For the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. If you're like me, the first question is, what is happening here? What is going on in the life of David? And to be honest, it's a little unclear exactly what is the cause of David's distress, because he's in tremendous distress. It's just a little unclear to know what is causing that distress, to know why he is sensing God's displeasure in this moment. Now, this psalm is referred to as what is called a psalm of confession. There's quite a few of them, actually, Psalms 51 being one of the most popular ones. And it's rightly labeled that way, isn't it? I mean, the first two verses are indeed a confession. But as you read and followed along as I read, there's really no confession of a particular sin that's mentioned, much like Psalms 51. So God's rebuke, God's discipline are not completely tied, at least to what we see in Psalm 6, they're not completely tied to any particular sin that he confesses. And as we see so clearly in many of the other Psalms of confession. I mean, it really could be that David actually understands the general effect of sin upon the world. He understands how that means when sin entered the world, that difficulty would come. So maybe he's seeing a connection there. So he sees his current circumstance, whatever it might be, whether generated by sin or whether generated by others outside of him, maybe he just has a general understanding that difficulty oftentimes is ultimately a work of sin. Others have speculated that maybe there's an illness in his life. We see him asking to be healed. His bones hurt. So it could be an illness that's lingering. And David is seeing that this lingering illness as the Lord's rebuke, as discipline, as something that is strengthening his understanding of God. Or it could be that David's enemies, as we've been looking at so much throughout the last few Psalms, that their consistent taunts, their consistent evil actions, or perhaps maybe they're the result of some sinful behavior on David's part, or it's causing him to be sinful. It's just simply unclear as to what is the cause of all of this. But that doesn't matter, because what is clear is that David's conscience is uneasy. Whether God's displeasure was caused by David's sin, or it is a result of David's difficulty brought on by others. We don't really know. But what we do know, brothers and sisters, and those visiting with us, and where this offers an incredible insight to us, what we do know is that David's conscience is uneasy, so much so that he is emotionally spent. Have you been there? Whatever the cause might be, you're so uneasy, emotionally undone. I'm sure, I am positive, if I went around the room and asked you, you might have a story or two to where you've been so undone emotionally, to where nothing makes sense, to where you are confused, and if you grabbed a pen, it might sound much like David here. Here and there, over there, here, I'm hurting, I don't know what to do, so confused. That you are unsure why everything around you is the way it is, why everything in you feels so wrong. You cry out to God, confessing all of that uncertainty. Why? Because we're looking for help. And we become so undone that we are ready to receive whatever he gives. Confession might be good for the soul in those moments. Or maybe you relate to this psalm. Even as I read it, maybe there's a little bit of conviction happening. Maybe you relate because of sin. That lingering sin that's so overwhelming, you can't seem to get a hold of. Maybe you relate because you're so overwhelmed by that. You cannot stand the pull that it has in your life. Have you ever wept over your own sin? I have. It's not fun. It's good for the soul. Whatever might cause us to get to these moments of just so emotionally spent, undone, unsure, uncertain, overwhelmed, confused, this psalm has a lot to offer us. We will, if you haven't, you will become emotionally drained because the battle just seems so endless. So what are we to do? Confess. Cry out to God for help and be willing to receive whatever he gives. The Psalms are so good for us, church. Spend time there. They might seem dark at moments, but there's always a little bit of shining light, as we'll see today. So David gives us a wealth of insight into what true confession looks like before the Lord when we are uncertain, when we are confused, when we are convicted, when there's emotional pain overwhelming us. When all of this defines you, Psalm 6 offers us something. Let's revisit the first five verses just one more time. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? How many of you prayed that? Verse 4, turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. And Sheol, who will give you praise? Notice this true confession is extremely honest, isn't it? There is a rawness to this that I really appreciate. There is an honesty to David's speech that I can relate to. But notice that in the very beginning, he asked the Lord not to rebuke, or rather, do not rebuke in anger, do not discipline in wrath. Notice that he does not say, don't do those things. He actually seems to believe that he, and really all of us for that matter, we actually need the Lord like a father to discipline us. He doesn't really despise the Lord if this be discipline and rebuke. He's not saying, don't do that. He's not dismissing that his calamity, that his hard times, that his emotionally undoneness can actually be used by the Lord. He actually, in those first few lines, is anticipating this type of work in his life by the hands of God. You catch that? He doesn't say, don't ever rebuke or discipline me. What he seems to be concerned about is that the Lord would not do it out of anger or wrath, but rather like a father who corrects to strengthen their child. He seems to be recalling verses like Proverbs 3, 11 through 12. Listen to this. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. David isn't saying, and he actually anticipates that difficulty is used by the Lord. But he understands, even in his emotionally unstable state, that the Lord works through difficulty to discipline and mature his people. What an interesting thought. He doesn't really reject it, but he is really honest, isn't he? He is honest to say, I'm a bit overwhelmed here, Lord. Can you see me, Lord? I'm a little overwhelmed. I know that you want to work in my life and you want to discipline and mature me, but his honesty spills over. He longs for the Lord to keep his anger and his wrath at bay. But oh, he wants the Lord to put forth his love in the rebuke and discipline. He's willing to receive whatever the Lord is doing. He is honest and open about how he feels. Richard Baxter from this text put it this way. If I must feel that chastening rod, yet kill not me, but kill my sin. And let me know thou art my God. Oh, give my soul some sweet foretaste of that which I shall shortly see. Let faith and love cry to the last, come, Lord, I trust myself with thee. Notice David says, I will take whatever you give me, because I know you will use it. I trust myself with you. Now, David's honesty doesn't stop there and saying, Lord, I get it, but it's getting hard. His honesty doesn't stop there, but he asks the million-dollar question, right? In any moment of grief and difficulty, any moment of trouble, how long? Lord, that's what I'd like to know. Okay, I understand that things are going to happen to me, but you, oh Lord, how long? This actually must be the greatest part of the grief that David feels. For the Lord to tarry and seem a long way off is a bit overwhelming for any child of God, isn't it? Of course it is. We want to be near him at all times. And we certainly want him to be near to us at all times. We draw great comfort from that. We want him to respond quickly. We don't want him to do it at his earliest convenience. But please respond now. This has been going on for a little while. Perhaps you're using it in my life. But I'm a bit undone, Lord. So he, in complete honesty, because that's what true confession does. It's pouring out our soul to the Lord. See, this how long, oh Lord, is a real emotion. Perhaps some of you have felt it before. Pray those words. It is one that is full of love and desperation. But you know what? It is a prayer that is born out of a right understanding that the only thing that pushes the dark night of pain away is the coming up of the sun in the morning. The only way David's pain, the only way David's uneasiness can be overcome is in nearness to God. That grief is born out of a right longing. Oh, Lord, be near. Where are you? David's confession spills over with all of this honesty. And what's interesting is that his honesty moves from this, hey, here's how I feel. It moves into a pleading with the Lord. You catch that in 4 and 5? Now, you may be thinking, well, this seems like David's bargaining with God. And maybe he is. It's pretty sound logic, actually, isn't it? But this honesty spills over in him just pleading that the Lord would move in a certain way. And it might just seem like he's just bargaining. But here's how one commentator put it. And I thought this was really helpful. That David is more than bargaining, but he's mourning the loss of human purpose. You see what he's most upset about? Is that if I die, I can't keep doing what you made me to do. And that feels like a significant loss to David. David understands what humans are supposed to do, praise and glorify God. Death would take that away from him. And he simply just cannot stand the thought of not being able to praise the Lord, to not be able to fulfill his purpose. Now, many of you biblical scholars right now are going, now, wait a second. Now, we all know that our praise does not cease in death. We stand before the Lord and we offer for glorious eternity our praise to him. But you can see how David's pain is increased as he mourns the loss of living for God. Maybe he's bargaining, and it's really sound logic. Well, Lord, I can't do what I'm supposed to do as a human. But I think it's a fascinating thought to say, if I can't be what God has called me to be, which means to go glorify him, that would be overwhelming. You see, true confession is honest with God. We confess to share our honest thoughts with God. He is a true friend, a confidant that has a big ear, like we talked about last week. A big ear in order to listen, to receive our most intimate thought. Brothers and sisters, those visiting with us, perhaps this is just an oversimplification, but I want you to hear this. It is wise for the child of God to sit in the lap of God the Father and pour out your heart. This life is difficult. It is good for the soul. And really, let's be honest. Doesn't God already know your thoughts? I mean, not sharing them with him no more keeps them a secret from him than a kid who puts their hand over their face right in front of you, thinking that you can't see them now because they're invisible. The flawed logic of a child that thinks, oh, if you can't see me, if I can't see you, then you certainly can't see me. That logic is just as flawed as one keeping their intimate thoughts unvoiced, believing that, well, if I don't voice them to God, then he doesn't know them. Oh, he knows, brothers and sisters. True confession is honest, and it appeals to the Lord's truth. It appeals to the Lord as our Father who wants to listen. David sets before us an incredible example to pour ourselves out before the Lord. He already knows your thoughts. Bring them to him and let him sort through them. True confession is not only honest, but it also is sorrowful. Let's reread verses 6 and 7. Some of the most intense parts of this psalm. David says, I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. The rawness of David's pain is before us with clarity. He cannot sleep. He weeps consistently. He is sick with grief, and he's beaten down by his enemies. When it rains, it pours. He simply cannot get any more overwhelmed. So what does he do? He tells the Lord how he feels. He mourns over the way things are because they just shouldn't be that way. You see, emotions are okay. The Lord created them. He knows them very well. This is why I particularly love poetry, music, art. All of this is helpful for confessions. Why? Because these mediums are not afraid of emotions, and David isn't either. But we've got to be honest. Confession, deep reflection, whether upon our sin, whether upon our unfortunate circumstance. Well, brothers and sisters, that will cause sorrow, or at least it should, because that is not the way it is supposed to be. We spent time in the book of Genesis before the summer. One of the things we saw over and over again is that sin has radically messed it all up. And there should be a longing for the Lord to put right all that is wrong. True confession, as it reflects upon whatever is going on, will certainly be sorrowful. Why? Because it knows this is not how it's supposed to be. You know, part of repentance, if we were to define that word, there's an element in repentance that anyone would look for, is a heartfelt sorrow for sin. True confession, repentance doesn't happen if there's not sorrowfulness for our sin. Sorrowfulness for the loss of communion with God. Sorrow for the sin's effects upon our lives and others. You know, the Lord is not interested in half-hearted cries. You see, he deals in reality, so he understands. He wants the raw, unfiltered feelings that plague us in our sin, that plague us in our troubles, in our doubts, in our pain. Now, I do want to be a disclaimer. He doesn't want whining, but he certainly wants a broken and contrite heart. A phrase taken from another psalm of confession in Psalms 51. That's what the Lord's looking for. I mean, think about it, brothers and sisters, those visitors. Where else are you going to take all your broken thoughts? Where else can you take your uncertain feelings, your doubts, your unending pain? And as we're going to see, there's great relief in bringing our pain to the Lord. I think we all could safely agree that bottling it up, well, that doesn't really do good for anybody. You, your family, those close to you. But the Lord has an ear ready to receive, to hear our pain, to receive our confession. Well, let's continue to examine David's prayer of confession. Let's look at verses 8 through 10. Depart from me, kind of a weird turn after all this emotion. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. There's a shift. For the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. Verse 10, all my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. Well, there is a shift. The weeping poet is off his bed now. His confession has brought him to a certain clarity, hasn't it? It seems that confession grows our confidence in the Lord. Verses 8 through 10 is kind of like someone coming above the turbulent waters as they've been pushed under for so long. They come above the water and they fill their lungs with much needed oxygen because they have been saved. These verses are the relief that comes when we are rescued, when we are heard, when the Lord hears and he accepts and he responds to our confession, when he listens to our pain. Here is a breath of fresh air to the weeping poet who has been on his bed undone emotionally. When I came out of those few moments of deep darkness of grief, after I got off the phone with my father, interestingly enough, there was a sweet breath of fresh air that the Lord hears me, and the Lord cares. To have my wife by my side reminding me of the grace of our Lord brought a certain clarity in the storm, brought a much needed relief in the pain. You see, confession brings us to a greater clarity of who our Lord is, doesn't it? Now that David has been honest, now that David has expressed his sorrow, there's a couple of things that become so clear to him. One is that David understands just how evil evil is, just how sinful sin is. So he rejects evil. His sorrow has made it really clear to him that evil is just that, evil. There's nothing like a good cry to remind us just how bad that thing that we mourn is. So David comes to an incredible clarity and he says, oh no, evil is evil. It needs to be done away with. It needs to be rejected. Brothers and sisters, we cannot stand for evil ways. You know what brings that about in our lives oftentimes? Sorrow. Sorrow is what brings about the right view of evil. We begin to understand, well, that's not lovely. Well, that sinful behavior, come to find out, isn't very helpful in my household. It causes great pain as I look around those that are sitting in the wake of my sin. See, sorrow makes the view so clear, doesn't it? Evil, sinfulness, it's just not lovely. Do you know something? I hate sin so much that I will fight for its rejection, even if that makes you mad. You know how I've come to that? Through sorrow and pain over my own sin. You know how I've come to that? As I've talked to many of you, and I've talked to many people many times who are hurting because of sin and evil. I just simply hate it. Sorrow has brought me close to the difficulty of those things. You see, a spade is a spade. Sin is sin. Do away with it. Evil is evil. Reject it. Because David has expressed his honesty and his sorrow. He sees evil as it is. But you know what? Not only that, but what happens to him in the confession is that he is comforted. You see that? It's through the means of confession that David experiences the comfort of the Lord. David is comforted. As he pours out tears upon his bed and weeping unto the Lord, David walks away comforted, like we saw last week. The fact that God hears, that brings tremendous comfort to David. David, who has been quite a weary follower of God the last few weeks, this brings him comfort. And in confession, as the Lord has tuned his ear, it has comforted him. But did you catch? He adds actually something really neat to that beautiful reality that God hears us. Did you hear that word? God accepts my prayer. Isn't that interesting? It seems that honesty and sorrow has not turned God's ear away, but it's actually tuned his ears into David to receive this prayer born out of trouble. The Lord is heard and the Lord accepts. Honesty and sorrow did not turn God's ear away. It tuned it in closer. David does not waver from the belief in our God and his character. What has he done? He has considered his life, he's confessed his need, and now he is comforted. But there is one last clarity that comes in this confession. Do you catch those last couple of lines? David declares that God's justice will prevail. You see, confession oftentimes brings a clarity to our situation. Have you ever went to prayer with all this uneasiness, and as you pray, you almost chuckle and go, why am I worried? I don't know about you, maybe I'm the only one. But I come to prayer, I confess all of my anxiety and frustration and difficulty, and then there's just this moment where I go, oh, yeah, you're God. You see, David can see clearly now that the rain is gone. Now the emotions have subsided and he has brought himself unto the Lord. He can see so clearly now, wait a minute. Ha! Evil will not prevail because my God is a God of justice. He will put to shame evil ways. What am I so worried about? I know that this long struggle of sin one day will be won as I stand before the Lord. Brothers and sisters, what seems to be winning today whether it's sin, whether it's injustice that we view around us, whether it's evil ways, whether it's chronic illnesses, whether it's our enemies, in the end, it will be put to shame in comparison to the glories of our God. What seems so powerful now will fall at the Lord's justice. You see, it's confession that brought this clarity to David. This morning, I want you to understand that through a difficult psalm like Psalm 6, we need to understand that confession is good for the sick soul. It's good for us. And reminds us of our deliverance that's in the Lord. As I was thinking about this text and revisiting all the crazy emotions I have felt over the years over various things, and man, studying God's word is so good. I was reminded, and thinking about those first couple of verses of Psalm 6, of David's willing to receive all this calamity, knowing that the Lord's going to do something through it. It reminds me of Romans 8, 28, right? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Notice, for good. Not for what you think, but for what the Lord knows to be good, for those who are called according to his purpose. You see, in our troubles and calamities, there is a work happening just below the surface in our life that you cannot see because of all the pain of all the emotion. But good awaits those who know and love the Lord. Nothing is wasted in the hands of God. Nothing. The process of confession that we have walked through together this morning, it is designed to bring us close to the pain. It's designed to remind us of the ugliness of sin that we commit. Confession brings us so close to the pains sometimes that others have done towards us, so that we do what? We taste its ugliness. And it's revealed for what it is: no good. Sorrow brings that reality to us. It brings us close to the pain. We understand all of its ugliness, but it brings about a longing for the beauty of God. You see, it makes us aware of unfortunate circumstances. It allows us to mourn and lament what those circumstances bring in our life. Sometimes you just need to weep when things aren't the way that they should be. Those unfortunate circumstances are evil at times. They need to be mourned for what they cause in your life and others, for the pain that consumes us. But confession, oh, it brings us close to the pain, but it brings us closer to the grace of God. And it breeds in us a greater confidence of his ability to deliver us in the end. Because true confession brings us to a greater confidence of who our Lord is. But it'd be unwise for me this morning to not say it is the Christian, the one who knows and loves the Lord, who can experience the deliverance experienced in Psalm 6. As I studied this prayer, I thought about our Savior Jesus Christ quite a bit. Perhaps as he sat in the garden and wrestled and struggled with that moment, but yet willingly received from the Lord what the Lord had for him, so that you and I could taste deliverance. The world is not as it should be. We should mourn that. But we confess this morning that the Lord has provided a way through his son Jesus that we can experience joy and deliverance. True confession has a way of working in us to bring us to greater depths of love and confidence in our Lord. If you've not spent time in reflecting over your life, you should. If you've not spent time mourning over the difficulties you face, you should. Let Psalm 6 be a guide, bring you to greater confidence in who the Lord is, to understand that he has delivered us most ultimately in the person and work of Jesus, that today is not all. There's much more that awaits us. Let's pray. Father God, I'm so grateful for the realness of your scripture. I'm so grateful for the honesty that we can read in your scripture. Many of us have felt these pains deeply, and yet sometimes maybe shy away from bringing them to you. Might we have a renewed sense that you are a God who wants to listen, and who can listen, and who can do something about it, and who has done something about it. That ultimately you have delivered us in your Son, Jesus Christ, from all the pain and suffering we feel this side of heaven through faith and repentance in Jesus. We are made well. We are delivered in the end. Father, I pray that we would take the truths of Psalm 6 and we would practice them this week. Honesty before you, confessing our sin, our hurts, our pains, our frustrations. Father, and then mourning over those things, that things are not the way they should be. But Lord, true confession, at least true confession, should bring us to a greater confidence of you and what you have done and what you continue to do. So Father, I'm thankful for these moments. I pray that you would comfort us this week. It is in your holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.